pray and that the Lord will bless our time together here this morning. Are you excited to be in church? Amen. Well, I guess you're more excited than I am. Yeah? Right. No, you should always be excited to be in church. Amen. What a glorious time that you had this morning to worship the Lord. I think the church service is, you know, up in heaven, it's even more glorious. Right? Up in heaven, we're going to really praise the Lord uninhibited, right? Regardless of whatever your hand might not be able to lift up now, but over there, you're able to lift your hands. You'll be able to jump before the Lord. You'll be free, totally free, set free, right? We're going to have new bodies, and we're going to be in our prime time, right? Whether you're 60s or whatever age you are, God is worthy of our praise, amen? And that's the reason why we come to church on Sunday, to celebrate His goodness, to pray, and to worship Him, and so that, you know, as a family of God, we too grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to know Him more intimately. Amen. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for this beautiful day and morning. We commit this time to You. The Lord, in these moments that we have, Lord, I just pray that You speak to us through Your word, Lord. May it fall in fertile souls. May our heart, Lord, just respond to You. We pray all this in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Now, every home, I believe, or I don't know, to some extent, most home, I would say, you know, when you're growing up, you have a little chart at your doorpost or at your wall, you know. I don't know, you know, when Michelle was a certain age, oh, you're at this age now, and they're growing up this age, you know, you're this tall, you know. And each time the child grow taller, they feel excited, right? I remember when I was a teenager, I can't wait till I break 5 foot. You know, when I hit 5 feet, wow, that's great. How tall are you going to go? But some of you guys are really, the young teenagers are really shooting up, you know. And so it is a good thing to grow, isn't it? And if you are parents and if your child is not growing, instead of growing taller, is going down, then there's something wrong. Or you're stunted, right? And so, likewise in our spiritual walk too. I think parents as God, God of you know, our Heavenly Father, would like to see His children to grow, right? And if you're not growing, then there must be something wrong in our life. And so there's a word alarming, right? So many of the Hebrews Christians to whom the author wrote has stagnated in the Christian walk. They're not growing closer to the Lord, but he says that they had come to need milk again and not solid food. Imagine a teenager who quit eating regular food and go back to formula milk. Can you remember that? Instead of being able to teach others, they now need someone to teach them the ABCs of Christian life all over again. So the author wants to talk to them now at this junction. You know, we have finished chapter 5, and talk about Jesus being the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But he fears that it would be over their heads. So he digresses a bit, and he issues a strong exhortation from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, to chapter 6, verse 3. Our text, there is a call to spiritual maturity. Basically saying, grow up. Right, folks? And let us press on to spiritual maturity. So if you have your Bible, now how many of you here would like to grow up to be a strong, spiritual, mature Christian? I believe many of you do. And that's what the reason why you are in church this morning. Now, if you've got a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, to chapter 6, verse 3. Okay? Chapter 5, verse 11 to chapter 6, verse 3. Maybe we can just arise to read the verse. This is found in the New Living Translation. Okay? In the New Living Translation, let's read Hebrews chapter 5. If you got a Bible, just follow your Bible and read it from your Bible. There's much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. So in this introduction, in verse 11, it says there's much more to say about this. This is about talking about Jesus Christ being the high priest, right? So now, okay, believers, so long, So verse 12, you have been believers so long, now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Now, solid food is for those who are matured, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So, chapter 6, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become matured in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptism, the laying on hands, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment, and verse 3, and so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. So from here, the Hebrew author is saying, believers, you must move beyond the basic Christian faith and grow up in Christ. I like what John the Baptist says. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. In John 3, verse 30. And you see, Jesus, in Luke 2, verse 52, say, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God, with God and men. Now, just because one has been a Christian for many years does not mean that they are matured. Now, they may be like the person who had been a teacher for 25 years. So this was a teacher who has been a teacher for 25 years. When she heard about a job that would mean a promotion, what did she do? She applied for the position. However, someone had been teaching for only 2 years was hired instead. How disappointed. And so she went to the principal and asked, why? The principal responded, I'm sorry, but you haven't have 25 years of experience as you claim. You have only 1 year of experience 25 times. So during the whole time, the teacher had not improved. So it may be with many Christians, they have not grown, but simply repeated their first year of spiritual life many times. So the lack of spiritual growth or spiritual immaturity is a dangerous thing. For they may be blessings to be enjoyed in Christ that only the mature Christian can truly understand and appropriate. And so if one remains spiritually immature, they do not come to fully appreciate the standing and the blessing they have in Christ. So there are many Christians who do not know their standing, who they are in Christ, right? Because they haven't grown. They only accepted Jesus maybe as a Savior, right? But not fully Lord of their life. And so they are deprived of greater understanding. They are more susceptible with the wiles and the deceit and the schemes of the devil. So now the author of the books found himself faced with this problem. He had much to say about Christ as a high priest, but spiritual immaturity of his reader made it difficult. So now, how about you? How long have you been a Christian? Are you growing spiritually as a Christian? Or are you repeating your first year over and over, remaining spiritual immature? Now in our text, we find some of the identifying marks of spiritual immaturity. In fact, the author says there's 4 marks of spiritual immaturity that we can get from this text. And what are they? These 4 marks of spiritual immaturity, the first one is dullness of hearing towards the word. And this, in fact, is one of a disease, you know, that the dullness of hearing. Hebrews 5, verse 11 says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult, the writer says, to explain more. I can't. Why? Especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. So you see here, the Hebrew Christians has become dull of hearing and spiritually dull. How did they arrive to such a state? In fact, early on, if you read through the book of Hebrews, these believers started on their backward journey by first drifting from the word. In Hebrews 2 verse 1 to 4, they pay close attention, careful, that you might not drift from your word. And then doubting the word of God. As a result, they are now become dull of hearing and they are unable to listen to the word and receive it and act on it. Now, dull, the word dull is used only here in verse 11 and in Hebrews 6 verse 12 in the New Testament. It has a meaning that means sluggish. Sluggish or slow. Slow to hear, slow to listen. It carries the idea of spiritual laziness or lethargy. In fact, dullness of hearing is a kind of hearing with the ears that is unresponsive in the heart. You could be hearing something, but it doesn't touch your heart, right? It doesn't embrace the word of God with faith, and therefore it doesn't produce fruits of patience and obedience. So if a person with dull in hearing, you don't receive it. You know, that's why Jesus talked about the parable of the sowers, right? The seed is always grade A, but sometimes the soil represents our heart, right? The seed falls on what soil? You know, there's a hardness of a heart, there's a fertile soil. When it falls on the fertile soil, what happens when the seed falls on the fertile soil? It grows, right? 30-fold, 100-fold. And so here you see dullness in the heart, and we have dullness of hearing. It's a issue of our heart. We're not able to listen, although we are listening, right? But we're not actually listening to God's word. We are just one. It could be coming here and going there, just like a parent trying to tell the children, to teach the children, you need to do this, you know? It is very important, right? They could be hearing you, listening, but actually both ears open, right? It didn't fall on the heart. Say, oh, yes, mom, yes, dad, I got it, right? You know they didn't get it when you see their reaction and their behavior, right? It's hearing the Bible or the preaching of the Bible the way you are on the freeway, where there's a lot of noise. You know, you pass by freeway. After a while, you become dull. You know, it's just you're just hearing as though there's just it does not awaken or produce anything. The word of God is not cherished. It is not treasured in your heart. You're not receptive. You know, if you have a love for God, then whatever God's word is, if this is the word of God that I'm preaching, regardless of whoever deliver it, the word of God, you want to cherish the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And so in the Thessalonian church, the work of God was effectively working in them because they are welcoming God's word in their heart. When you have God's word working in you and you're receptive, your heart is receptive to God, and as you apply, it produces fruits. Amen? Right? When you receive God's word, and so they were once like that, but they have lost it. So one of the first symptoms of spiritual regression, instead of progression, regression, or backsliding is dullness of hearing and towards the Bible. So are you dull of hearing? Right? Ask yourself this question. Is the Bible dull? Are the Bible class dull? Are the sermons dull? Is anything that is spiritual in nature, like praising the Lord, worshiping God, praying dull? If so, then you have become dull of hearing. Going to church, oh, that must be boring. Right? Going to Bible study, oh, that is dull. Going to Sunday school, oh, boy. But, you know, are you dull in hearing, right? Have you, you know, in the past, something must have happened in your walk with the Lord. Because a child will always love to grow. You know, so the question to ask is, do I have this sickness or disease? Or are you dull of hearing? Am I spiritually dull towards God, His Word, and the things of God? Now, the second mark, when one is dull of hearing, it's only natural that the next mark of spiritual maturity will be evident. That is, the inability to teach others. Right? Hebrews 5 verse 12. The first part of verse 12 says, you have been believers, what? So long. Now that you ought to be teaching others, but you are not. You have been a believer so long, right? So the ability to share spiritual truth with others is a mark of spiritual growth and maturity. When you have learned something, when a child learns something, they want to learn to teach, right? The other person. Even like I see Liam is slowly growing up. He's got a little brother, right? Gabriel. He is only 3 years old. But he's learned something and he can't wait to teach the younger brother maybe to walk. You know, you're still crawling, right? But he has to learn to crawl before he walk, right? Gabriel is 6 months, you know, he's bouncing like a little puppy, you know. Very soon he'll be walking. He's already 7 months, right? And so the little bigger brother can't wait, you know. What little he knows, right? The big jigsaw puzzle or whatever it is, right? So, you know, I'm very encouraged to see our youth, right? As they are growing in the Lord, I see there's great potential in our youth today, in our church. You have good heritage. You have good parents. They're not perfect parents, but the parents love the Lord. They want you to grow in the Lord and to see you coming up. And I can see the fruits of their labor, their prayer. And many times you don't know how much your parents actually pray for you. You know, I remember when Michelle was a teenager growing up, she had some challenges too, you know. She's a pretty girl, and you know, which boy is gonna date my daughter, you know? Make sure he's godly, you know. No, we pray often, and we pray hard, and pray that they'll be conscientious, that they will study, you know, that they'll love as they are, you know, and grow up and to mature, right? To be able to do well, you know, in the studies and so forth, you know. And so what am I saying now? Yeah. The youth, yeah. And the youth, you see them, you are now teaching the younger one, right? Because you have grown, right? You have grown, right? The older one teach the younger one, right? The age, I know chronological, as I say, you can be 25 years a Christian, but if you're not letting the word of God into you, you are not growing, you are stunted. You're funny, you know, you're a Christian with stunted growth, right? And so what you see, you know, you're going for a mission trip and teaching, taking in Sunday school, and they're just wonderful, right? And I believe God wants us as adults also in teaching the youth. And so the Christians and believers of this letter, but they have been saved long enough to be able to share God's truth with others. But I know there's such thing as a gift of teaching, a formal teaching. But there are times also we can share. Informal, right? Informally we can teach. Like the parents teach the children growing up and you begin to just share your experiences, you know, over a cup of tea or coffee in times of fellowship, you know. What are you going through, you know? You begin to impart and you're teaching. Because when you know God's truth, and when there's something situation about maybe whatever it may be, a direction in your life or relationship or whatever it may be, and God's word speaks about this situation and you want to speak into the person, you know, this is God's word, this is God's counsel, right? This is the help that you can get. But instead of helping others to grow, these Hebrew Christians were in need of learning again the simple teaching of Christian life. This demonstrated their spiritual immaturity. In fact, they are experiencing a second childhood. Right? So how many of you are experiencing second childhood? Right? I hope none of you. You're a student of the word. You want to grow. Right? You want to teach others, you know. As God teaches you, as speaks to you, as you read the Word of God and allow the Word of God, and as you apply the Word of God, you grow, right? And you want to teach others. So, now the third mark of spiritual maturity is a diet of milk, right? Hebrews 5 verse 12b to verse 13 say, instead you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Now, we know very well milk is a pre-digested food and is especially suited for babies, right? You have this formula milk for digestion because a baby, when you're first born, their whole digestive system, they're not strong, right? They're not able to take solid food, right? They have to take milk. The mother's milk, of course, is the best, right? until their the system as they intake the milk, they slowly grow stronger and stronger as they grow stronger. And once they appear, the teeth start coming out, you know, from the mouth. Oh, they're just about ready to chew on something, right? And as such chewing finger, oh, maybe the nut tooth appear. Oh, maybe he can eat congee now, you know, fury. Or no, later, oh, you know. I remember when Nam was growing up, he loves the drumstick, you know. You'll be able to, when he's got a teeth, he's able to chew, right? The drumstick, he's able to eat solid food, right? He graduated from milk to solid food. But only those who have teeth can enjoy meat. Right? Now, a diet of milk is often necessary, right? Certainly it is needed to those babes in Christ, those who are first born, right? When you're a child of God, you need to learn the basic milk. So you feel the milk. In 1 Peter verse 2, chapter 2 verse 2, in the NIV version said, like newborn babies, what did Peter say? Crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And so milk helps you to grow as a child, right? And such a diet includes, to describe the basic things of elementary, the things of God's word. Now, like what is salvation? Who is Jesus Christ? About repentance, about faith, about baptism. And all those are elementary teachings, right? So our diet must one day include solid food. You just can't. Can you imagine? As you grow up, you're still drinking milk, right? No, your body is not going to be that. Also, there's not insufficient, right? And you want to grow healthily, you begin to take solid food, right? It helps you in your development physically. So likewise too spiritually. So just as the physical baby must graduate to solid food in order to grow to maturity, so a babe in Christ cannot mature unless the diet goes beyond the elementary principles or the basic truth. Now, beyond this basic and elementary truth, there is much in Scripture that is deep and nourishing. You know, there's more than in the Word of God, right? As you begin to study the Word of God, someone has said this, the Bible is like an ocean, deep enough to drown an elephant, but shallow enough at shore for a toddler to play. No? You understand what I say? So you might be, you know, an elephant is, compared to the toddler, the elephant, right? Just so compared, you may be the cleverest man, more intelligent, great theologian. It's deep enough, the Bible is deep enough for the greatest mind to discover beautiful truths. That's the word of God is. And it's shallow enough for newborn babes, toddler, whatever it is, in Christ, you may say, you know, to also receive God's word. Can you remember when God speaks to you through a word when you first become a Christian? Right? It's the word of God. It's never too shallow for you. You get excited. Oh, whatever word it is that God spoke to you, right? He's your peace or whatever it is. He forgives your sin. So I'm with you always. No? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There are just so many passages in God's word that even as a baby, you can cling on to God's word and his promise. How many of you did that when you were first a Christian? You know, somebody will go through with you, you know, certain principles, right? And you understand. Because you know why you understand? Because now you are a child of God. You're born into the family. You are spiritually born again. You have the same Father who speaks to me and to you, right? We have the same Father that we can worship, that we can praise, that we can talk to. Same God and the same word. Right? But just that maybe, and when we learn the basic of it, like for example, you learn ABC. How many know ABC? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know. You sing the song time and time again, you know your ABC. Then from your ABC, what do you learn? You learn words. Cat, dog, elephant, leopard. You learn all the animals, right? You know the form. And oh, this is A, this is B. Then you slowly learn word, right? And then after that, from the word, what do you do? But you need the basic. Of A, B, C, right? Then you make sentences, right? I go to school. Good morning, teacher. How are you? I am fine. Okay, whatever it is. But you all start from the A, B, C. But you, after learning A, B, C, you already know them, right? But before you proceed on to further thing, you discover, oh, now you can read novels. You can start composing poems, you know, this and that. Amos is very good, you know. You can write a book. Some of you, you know, begin And so likewise, like the timetable, right? How many of you, maybe the modern, the younger folks, you know, your time, you know, when we were growing up, everybody know the timetable, one time one, you know. One timetable is the easiest, right? Then you go to two timetables, right? Two times two. Then you go to three timetables, you know, from up to 12, right? You all remember that? You all remember that, right? Then now you know how to multiply, right? Somebody will cheat you, oh, no, no. You know, this is, how much is this? If this is £3, you know, you need to apply now. Now you go marketing, you go shopping. How much did you say this? 1 kilo? $5? This is 3 kilo. $15. How come you charge me $25? Right? You know what is right and wrong, right? But you need to know the basic. So this is what they're going to say later on, you know, in the book of Hebrews. Because you're not growing, you're not able to discern between what is right and what is wrong, right? You're not growing. So you forget, you know, and you need to go back and learn again. So it's very important, you know, to ask us our question, is our diet only milk? Am I just still drinking on the basic, right, milk? Or you want to grow, right? And then we will be, if it's only milk, then we become unskilled. Means without experience in the Word of God. We will remain as babes. Hebrews 5 verse 13 say, so what has your diet been lately? What have you been feeding yourself? Right? In order that you might grow. Has it been just limited to milk? Or has it even included milk? Right? Some Christians may not even be getting the milk of the Word of God. They're feeding themselves on the things of the world. They're so busy out there, or, you know, whatever it is in the world, right? Magazines, social media, and all the stuff. So are you getting any meat or feeding on solid food? What are you feeding yourself with? So studying the portion of God's Word that challenges you in understanding helps. And we had an opportunity to talk to Brandon. And I thank God for this fine man. You know, and for the young people, we hope that you too will grow in your walk with the Lord by having your own personal quiet time. We talked to him about, later on, soap, you know, an abbreviation, that you can really apply it in your own walk with the Lord, right? Many of you know that, okay? Now, of course, even most of the matured adult never outgrows milk or of the Word. As believers, we can still learn much from our Lord's work on earth, right? And we must not stop there. We must make spiritual progress and grow in the knowledge of His Word and to know God more passionately. Now, fourthly, the inability to discern. The sign of spiritual immaturity is the inability to discern God between good and evil. The inability to discern good and evil. Hebrews 5 verse 14 reads this. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Says, solid food is for those who are matured, right? Who, through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong, okay? Now, Hebrews 5, verse 14, the NIV version says, I want to read it in a different version because here is a key of spiritual darkness. Here is a key of, of growing. In this verse, but the solid food is for the matured who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish, to discern good from evil. So as we grow in the Word, as we train ourselves, as we learn to use it daily in our life, we apply the Word, we exercise our spiritual senses and develop spiritual discernment between what is right and wrong and between good and evil, right? So here you see here, Hebrews 5:14, it says, solid food is for the matured, who through training. What is training like? Bless you. training is training, right? You train yourself, whatever it is, whatever skill that you need to train, whether you want to shoot a basketball or whatever it is training, you know, to run faster. A person, you know, an athlete, when they train themselves, when they run, I do 100 meter in how many seconds? 15 seconds. Oh, that's not good enough, you know. I can do better. I'll train 13 seconds, Then slowly you go, oh, 12 seconds, right? You train, you apply, but you keep running through, you see? And so in likewise, spiritually, as you train yourself, Paul talked about in Timothy, train yourself to be godly. How do we train ourselves to be godly? We need to know God's word, read God's word, we meditate on it, we chew on it, and we receive it, our heart. And that's where, when we have to train ourselves, then you won't be boring, you won't be dull. You know, it's a cure, you know, for spiritual dullness. You know, when you start training and you see results coming, wow, you know, I can do this, wow, look at my muscles, they're growing, or whatever it is, I'm going faster, you know, I can jump higher, I can shoot better, you know, you get excited, right? You start training yourself. And so ultimately, you grow, you know, in your, in whatever it is, right? So so spiritually, he says, then you're able to recognize between what is right and what is wrong. See, it's a characteristic of little children that they lack discernment. A baby would put anything into his mouth, right? He doesn't know what is in, right? Hard stuff. Oh, no, 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 no. That is dangerous. You know, many parents growing up, you know what it's like. You know, oh, don't put the stuff, or you can be an auntie. You know, oh, that's not good for you. But the baby doesn't know anything dangerous or not dangerous, right? Just pop into the mouth, right? An immature believer will listen to any preacher on the radio or television and not be able to identify whether or not he is true to the scripture or not. And that's where it's dangerous. You know, sometimes, you know, I know there's many speakers and preachers around, you know, and they just take a word out of context, and then because we're not able to discern, you know, the word, you know, each one of us, in a way, are theologians. What I mean is, what is theology? Learn theology. Theology, the word comes from two Greek words. Theo means God. Logi means the word, logos, right? So it's a study of God's, it's theology. Each one of us would have different view of who God is. So unless we know what this theology is, it in the line with God's word. Or is it out of God's word? It is out of his character or not out of his character. So we, so the side, the right doctrine and wrong doctrine, is, oh, it's so important. Because right orthodoxy, the practice of right doctrine, come to right orthopraxis. Orthopraxis is the right practice, right? To have a right practice, you need to be starting off in the right thing. If your point A is wrong, then, you know, you're going to end up wrong, right? Like a pilot is supposed to set at this angle, right? You want to slide off degree, instead of flying maybe to Toronto, you'll be going down to San Francisco, right? Right, wrong angle, right? You're wrong. And so, but a skillful pilot, right? They will know, right, where it is. Because they've set everything on the right path. This is dangerous. We live in a day where we hear every kind of teaching and every wind of doctrine about God in the radio and TV. Whether if you like it or not, every believer is a theologian and has doctrines about God, who he is. You listen to someone, you know, you have a certain view, if you don't study the scripture, they may be sound doctrines in line with the scriptures, or they may be veered and distorted that are inconsistent with scriptures. Now, you know, somebody may talk... So you know whether a person is matured or not matured by the discernment, you know, whether this person, you know, as the person begins to talk, is he in line with God's word? Is he sharing or something about inconsistent with God's character or is not, right? But unless you know the scriptures, unless you study God's word and apply it in yourself, you will not find out. So the question is, are you growing to be sound in your theology, or are you shallow, mixed and unbiblical in your theology and doctrines? Right? I like what Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 13 to 14. He reads, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become matured, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Fullness of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants. When we become matured, when we attain to the full measure of fullness, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in the deceitful scheme. Right? You can see some young Christians, they've been swayed away by certain cults, whether it's Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons, because they do not know. It sounds good. Right? God is love, right? Yeah, it sounds with a common thing, but later on, there are some wrong emphasis and wrong scriptures, right? Wrong theology, right? They have another book now in the Mormons. They have this Joseph Smith. This is the final guy who is revealed, that God has revealed to him, so you have another book, right? Or you have cult, I know in Philippines, like, who is that? Ignacio Christos, right? Or Kubuloy, right? He sounds so impressive, right? But as you begin to listen to him, right? This guy has just been sold out to a lie. How can he be a son of God, right? He claims himself to be dead. But he started off probably very well. But so there's so many young, gullible, right, people that they are willing, because he's so sincere, the sincerity or whatever it makes the person right is wrong. Theology is wrong, right? And so we need to grow spiritually in our walk with the Lord. Even behavior needs to be discerned according to God's word. Our culture bombards us with immoral behavior as if it were neutral and even desirable. Right? We hear an argument of pro-choice. It all sounds, I can choose, you know. I can go abortion and whatever it is. And you can go into all this argument for gay movement and this and that, right? And all this stuff that is going on there. It is as though it's okay, as long as maybe this couple is committed, you know. But what does the Word of God teach us? And we need to follow, right, what the Word of God says and teaches. What is right and what is wrong. But, you know, so many of us, sometimes we're unconscious. Evangelical Christians watch the same TV shows and the movies and the world does and read their Bible only occasionally. And is it a wonder, you know, they've been swayed and been tossed to every wind of doctrine, right? Even the beauty of the beast. You know, recently there's a Christian write an article. He said, the beauty of the beast, you know, by Disneyland, huh? He said, hey, be careful. You know, when you watch this, you know, there is some gay implication, right, on this. And so if a person who don't know, oh, it's only a fairy tale story or whatever it is. And so we need to be cautious as we, whatever that we practice, you know, in terms of our ethics, our conducts, we need to measure to what the Word of God say. Either you believe in the Word or you do not believe in the Word, right? There's no two-edged gray. But the point is the Bible, as we read the Bible, it's not just to fill our heads, right? To get puffed up, to have knowledge. When we read the Bible, the main thing is intended is to make us more godly. Making us a more godly person. Reading the Bible and applying the Word of God. So the goal is not knowledge, although knowledge is there, or information, because information doesn't transform, right? But when we read the Bible, we want to be transformed. And that's where transformation begins to take place, right? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, Romans 12, right? But be transformed. How are we being transformed? By the renewing of our mind. The word transform is a Greek word that means metamorphosis. You know how an ugly caterpillar, ooh, this ugly creature, turn out to be a beautiful butterfly. And God wants us to transform us, right? To go through the metamorphosis, to go through the transformation is to actually read the Word of God that our mind begin to be renewed. Oh, I used to have such thoughts about so-and-so or whatever thing it is, about an issue or whatever it is. But as my mind is being transformed and in line with God's Word, I begin to see things differently. My senses are a bit different. I begin to feel differently too. Because the thing is, I used to feel for something now, because God's Word, whatever God's Word is, you know, I want to be passionate of what God says in His Word, of who He is, or whatever He says, right? His like and dislike. And so our mind begin to be transformed and being renewed, right? And that's how transformation takes place. And now the ability to discern good and evil is a vital part of Christian maturity. The nation of Israel in Moses' day lacked this discernment and failed to claim his promised inheritance. The readers of this letter were in danger of making the same mistake. It is impossible to stand still in the Christian life. We either go forward and claim God's blessing, or we go backward and wander about aimlessly. Now, there's one preacher who said many Christians who are between us. Between us, you know, spelled between. And at ERS, between us, between, okay? They are between Egypt, land of bondage, and Canaan. But out of the place of danger, but not yet into the place of rest and rich inheritance, he replied. They are between Good Friday, Jesus Christ died for our, you know, we know that he is our Savior, and Easter Sunday. Saved by the blood, but not enjoying the newness of a resurrected life. And so there are many Christians who do not know their full inheritance or who they are, right? They just are contented, oh, I'm out of Egypt. Like they, you know, they say, oh, I'm out of Egypt, out of land of bondage. I'm happy. But they haven't reached a promised land that God has for them, right? Because of their unbelief, because of their disobedience, right? They're living in between this land, the land flowing with milk and honey, right? And between, and the land of bondage. Egypt represents bondage. Pharaoh represents, in a way, a typology of Satan, right? He bonded the people. People are bonded there, you know? They are slaves to sin. They are bonded. Of course, Moses is a typology of, in a way, like Jesus, he led the people out from the bondage, right? But these people refuse to trust in the Lord. For 40 years, right? They wander in the wilderness, never reach the promised land. But there is a group of people, right? There were 12 spies, remember? There's Joshua and Caleb, right? Joshua and Caleb trusted in the Lord. They knew the scriptures. They believe in the scriptures. And they say, oh, what are the giants in Canaan? There's nothing to the Lord. You know, we can just beat them, you know? Whereas the other 10 spies thought, oh, this place full of giants, we can never defeat them. They were defeated. They died in a wonder, you know, in between the land. And so, like, why is it in Christians, in our walk with the Christian, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, right? But we haven't really learned to live victoriously with fullness of joy and assurance and that hope, right, that only Christ can give. But how do we move to that stage, right? How do we move there? You must come out from our disease of dull hearing, right? Spiritual downness, right? Into a place where we say, oh, there's spiritual excitement. No, I want to be passionate for God. That's why I still believe as a Christian, our pursuit should always be God, right? We should be passionate. If you are passionate, see, passion comes from an attitude of the heart. Where your heart is, lies your treasure. Amen? So you are passionate after God. You want, when you read the word of God, you are passionate over him, the things of him. You want to do things to bring honor and to please him. And you believe in his promises. And you walk in that belief, in that faith, in his God's promise. And he will bring you to the Canaan, the land flowing with milk honey. Right? And how you see all these people can conquer giants and fear. And they go through, they are just like us, with feelings, two eyes, one nose, whatever it is. They have a heart that beats fear. They know what fear is about. But they trusted in God's word. Right? They claim God's word. Right? Like Joshua and Caleb. They are ordinary people. They are 12 spies. They are all from different tribes. Right? They have the same feelings. They go through the same situation. They see the same stuff. But what makes them different? Right? Their difference is because their heart is after God. And they know, if God wants that, and that is God's promise, I'm going to go for it, right? And so there are many Christians, they're in between. Oh. No, 1 foot here, 1 foot there. Oh, I'm better safe here, no? But that's a miserable place to be in, right? And so there are many Christians, they're left wandering. They die in a wonder in the wilderness, right? Not knowing their full inheritance, what God has for them. Amen? And so, towards the end says, a call to spiritual maturity. Let us press on to spiritual progress and maturity. Hebrews 6, verse 1 to 3 says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become matured in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God, You don't need further instruction about baptism, the laying of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. So it is tragic when a baby fails to mature, no matter how much the parents and the grandparents love to hold and cuddle a baby. It is their desire that the baby grows up and enjoy the full life as a matured adult, isn't it? And likewise, God has the same desire for his children. And that's why he called us, the writer of Hebrews, that we are to go on to maturity. Amen? So it's a call to spiritual growth and a progress. And you and I, I think this, I'll just stop there. It's important. I've spoken enough, and I believe this is what God wants us to do, the message. A cure for spiritual dullness and the dullness of hearing is to have a passion for God and to practice whatever God's word, make sure our heart is always right. Ask God to search our hearts and to apply God's word into our life. There's so much that can be experienced. Now, I've been a Christian now, 40-something years. But stay on the past, right? There's more that God wants to bless us with. There's more that God wants to show us with, his glory, his ways, right? And that's what I believe God wants to do in your life too, right? As we all grow towards maturity, right? And I believe that is what a word for Agape Church, that we are to go on to spiritual maturity. And we need to recognize that, important to know that God is the one who enables us to progress as we yield to him, as we receive his word, as we act on it. Christian growth does not happen automatically. It's very important. It is a choice. It takes a deliberate effort with God's enabling. There's one part of us we need to choose, right? To be followers or to be disciples, right? To be the betweeners, or you want to be the one like Joshua and Caleb. It is not automatic. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It depends on you. Whether you want to go for training or you don't want to go for training, right? It's your choice. But you know, if you go for training, whatever training it is, it's going to benefit you, right? And so likewise too, it is a choice. As Paul finally balanced it, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God. So this part, our part is the workout. Do our part, and it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Amen. Hallelujah.